Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 211 of part 6, Something Darker. And the minute is going to start with Superman and Cyborg separating the mother boxes. And then the minute is going to end with Darkseid standing upon disappointment, which is another name for Steppenwolf.
Oh, good little wordplay you got there. I was going to say, should we cue up the Offspring song, you know? You know what I'm talking about. You got keep separated. Do we have to pay someone? I was doing it as a karaoke.
Yeah. Just already that. Owe so much money to Operation Ivy, so I really don't know how much money we got left in the bank.
Operation Ivy told me we could use that Unity.
And Unity, I almost said Unity.
It's like a Beetlejuice thing. So. You can only get the two Unities. You don't have to say the third one, and then we're good.
Yeah,
we get Beetlegeist rules on this bad boy.
yes, of course. This is a pretty iconic minute here, and there's a certain image here that we get. And it's most famously, it's Steppenwolf, the way that he dies in this minute, because this is what this minute is. In this minute is the death of Steppenwolf. The entire little clip of it, Steppenwolf being impaled by Aquaman. This was a move that we had seen earlier when we were doing the minute by minutes, and we saw Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg fighting Steppenwolf, and we kind of talked about, like, oh, you can see Aquaman going for this killing blow once or twice. I believe it was just two weeks ago exactly
when they were up on the first catwalk.
Yes, absolutely. And in this minute, you see here that Aquaman does actually get to flank Steppenwolf and stab him through the chest with stab him in the back and then out through the chest with that trident. And so you kind of see the strategy there for us, and I guess for me personally, I don't mean to speak for you, but it's like, hey, that pays off now. Like it's like seeing a killing blow, like trying to do it. So I guess in some way it's like, as far as fight choreography goes, it goes, oh yeah, it's not just, why in this moment did Steppenwolf not just use the armor that's protecting him and stuff? Like, there's been so many bases covered as far as like a chess game for these characters, that it's like this whole fight sequence with Steppenwolf at the very end, we've seen all his abilities throughout the movie. We've seen all the stuff that he can do to kind of protect himself, and then his offensive capabilities. We've seen all this strategic fight choreography throughout this entire movie. And now you see the kind of payoff here where Aquaman's like, I have him now. I'm going to stab him through the chest. Like, the battle's won. The Unity's broken. You know, this is it. Yeah. Time for the killing blow. And it's like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm glad we caught this 2 weeks ago when we were seeing this, them trying to get this strategy down.
Yeah.
Because they're warriors. And it's like, this is pretty cool.
I think it's really cool. I think it's extremely true to its Arthurian and medieval style of storytelling. That is, you know, extremely present through the Apocalypton gang. Is that what we're gonna call them?
Yeah, they're
the gang
plot
goes
line.
To Apocalypse. Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, very you know, medieval. It's pretty awesome, and especially being able to see, like what you were saying, it's a massive payoff to, one, see the trident, like, actually used, and not, well, I mean, I guess he was using it on parademons, but those don't count.
Yeah, no, not like this. This would be...
This is, know, like, this boss is, fight, and...
This is a really cool killing blow.
Yeah, this is,
And if Steppenwolf's going to get stabbed by anything. Like, it has to be that trident, right? Because it's just so cool. And even what's more important is seeing all the broken armor. This armor has been, like I said, it's such an iconic thing about Steppenwolf, is that he has this Xeno chainmail armor,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it evokes that Arthurian mythology that's used in this movie by Zack Snyder. And it's all broken in pieces. It's not cascaded down like we've seen earlier in the movie when he's talking to Darkseid and he, you know, kind of cascades it away to show his vulnerability to Darkseid. You can see there are pieces on his bicep. There are pieces closer to his abdomen, and like, but then there's holes. There's like pieces
the
missing.
The dude was getting mollywalloped by a Kryptonian and heat vision and super punches. I mean, sonic boom punches.
Yeah, and like, I think that's the other big piece of the puzzle here, is that Superman was, I get, he wasn't just being mean and mollywopping him the whole time, you know? He was breaking that armor. Like, okay, regenerate the armor again. I'm going to punch it and it's going to break even further. Like, I'm going to destroy this nanotechnology that you have here. Like, I'm just going to remove all of it.
Rip it off.
Yeah. And every time you try to cover one part of you, I'm going to break that part as well. So that was, you know, there's a bit of payoff for Superman just beaten down on Steppenwolf so that he's completely exposed and he cannot put that armor back up to protect him, even if he wanted to. He's completely exposed here, and so you kind of see this. And him without the armor now, he looks like the most, like, hell demon. Like, not, he doesn't look like an alien as much anymore. Now he just looks like a full-on, like, devil from hell, you know? Like, now he's... Now, not only is it Arthurian,
but it's Christian.
But it's like, it's like that Christian mythology of like, okay, here's this demon from hell, and we're gonna cut its head off and send it back into, you know,
the dark. But it's also it also plays to the half horn as well, the demon sense and devil esque, especially like fallen demon. Now he doesn't have, like, you know, missing a horn. That's like, that's probably like losing wings, right?
yeah, definitely. There's a lot. And so Aquaman, the shot of the trident going through Steppenwolf, and then you kind of see Aquaman starting to lift Steppenwolf up into the air while he's impaled. This was first seen on Instagram, on Jason Momoa's Instagram account, in black and white. We had always seen little frames from this Snyder cut over the years before its release, and we had never seen something as groundbreaking as that shot. That was given to Jason Momoa from Zack Snyder to help promote that internet I don't know what you would call it, but it's like a movement to release the Snyder Cut. It was like a big movement on all social medias. Gal Gadot posted one, which was her character in the van when they were loading up Clark's body, and she was wearing that big red trench coat. I don't think it was red, but it was definitely like a dark trench coat that she was wearing. And so that was like her release of Snyder Cut post. And then Jason Momoa actually got to post this one. And this was, you know, groundbreaking, because when we had the theatrical cut, obviously Steppenwolf doesn't die in the Justice League movie. It's more that they create this story beat that is the parademons only hunger on fear. Which kind of takes away from another DC character. But so the parademons are like, oh, we're only going to attack things that are like afraid. And, you know, we're actually afraid of Steppenwolf. So now that he's scared, we're all going to turn and, I don't know, they kind of take him away and then back to Apocalypse. So we don't really get to see his downfall. But He doesn't exactly die in that one, but his helmet drops off of him in the theatrical cut. A lot of people speculated over time that he was supposed to be beheaded, and I guess some people with insider knowledge to Zack Snyder and the Snyder Cut knew that, yeah, in the original version that was screened, he was beheaded. And so when you just see the helmet falling and rolling on the ground in the theatrical cut, it implies like, oh, that was probably supposed to be his head that was rolling around or something like that, but the studio changed it to make it the helmet. So seeing this black and white image of Aquaman impaling Steppenwolf with the trident, lifting him up, it goes back to being like, oh, there was a totally different death scene that we didn't see before, and then like now we're seeing it, and it's like, honestly, although it's obviously more graphic than the theatrical version, I think it's a lot more poetic when we talk about the story that we've been following this entire movie, which is kind of avenging the Atlanteans, the Amazons. What you see here is Aquaman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, the big kind of heavy hitters of the Trinity. They get their moment to really beat down Steppenwolf one more time, for retribution for all the kind of death and destruction that he's caused invading the planet. And so, this is not as controversial as Man of Steel or Dawn of Justice, but I think everyone agrees that this is a pretty good payoff for how to end your villain. But Nate,
the black and white photo that you were talking about? I don't remember that at all. Did it have this new CGI Steppenwolf? Did you say that? Did I miss you saying that? Did it have old Kieran Hines? Was there no Steppenwolf? Was it just him holding up the trident with a green thing?
That's a good question. Let me bring that up.
Oh, well.
No, because I think you're right. I want to say it's the theatrical version that's getting... Yes, you were right, Nathan.
I didn't even know.
You asking me that, guess. Like I was, yeah, yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna go play the lottery. Hang on.
Yeah, go for it. But yeah, the image is of the theatrical cut Steppenwolf being impaled the same way. So there
is he still like fully dressed? He's got his full armor and.
What's the deal? he's still got the. Whatever armor they gave him, but the trident is going through it. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people, they could totally. I mean, it was a quick Google search. It was just like Pride of Gypsies, which is Jason Momoa's Instagram handle, and then Steppenwolf, and I think maybe the Snyder Cut you can add on there, and it's like from like one of the first images you can find, and it is that Instagram photo and the Instagram post itself, and you'll see it's this scene right here, but instead of this Steppenwolf, it is the theatrical cut version, which could also imply that they were going to that they had filmed this, they were going to use that original Steppenwolf, and then who knows, maybe in the reshoots they were like, let's just redo that ending completely. And yeah, so I guess in some alternate version, that theatrical cut was going to have the same death scene in it. But oh well. I'm glad we got this instead.
Yeah, this is definitely more.
Yeah.
They probably said it was too brutal, you know? It's like,
stab
him through the chest. It's like, we do.
This is the kind of stuff I want to see. Like, I want to. There's both sides of this coin, where when I watched the Snyder Cut, it was like, I liked being validated on some parts that were from the theatrical cut, seeing it again and being like, I knew there was good in this movie somewhere, and I knew there were some things I liked about it, and seeing it in the Snyder Cut, it's like, oh yeah, I do like that. And it being here in the film again only confirms, like, I think I can really tell the difference on when it's a Zack Snyder moment versus a Joss Whedon moment. And then on the other side, it's like, I'm glad that I'm seeing this death scene for the first time and being wowed by it, instead of it being in the theatrical cut with the other version of Steppenwolf. And then if I saw it here, I would just be like, well, yeah, it's the same thing, but they switched out the model. And that's great, but
yeah,
I've seen it already.
I mean, I'm glad we didn't get another one of those. There were even a couple times doing this podcast where me realizing like, oh, that's the same thing that I already watched. Now I don't like it as much. It's like, well, not really. That's me joking. That was a joke. Laugh track.
I laughed for you. Please laugh.
Thank you. But yeah, no, it's definitely a plus that it's there's there's two different death scenes from the two different movies. So that's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of cool. That still kind of it separates them better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even like in universe, like if you want to like go like, oh, well, that was Earth 2-2-2-2-3. Give me a couple other numbers.
Earth 2-2-3.
You get what I'm saying, you know? And
yeah,
and,
yeah, I got
separate Earths and stuff. So
there you go.
I don't know. I'm kind of making it my own little world over here. If you guys want to come and hang out, door's always open.
I don't have enough iron ores to power my spacecraft to get over there. So
your spacecraft takes iron ore, man. That's some pretty like steampunk spacecraft shit you got going on, dude.
I don't know what kind of materials you need in No Man's Sky to power your spaceship.
My spaceship runs on me shoveling coal in it. and it is just like a Doc Brown choo-choo train, just vertical.
Yeah.
That's funny. Someone write that down. Someone put that somewhere. Someone draw that for me, huh?
A Doc Brown railroad
like up on like a Kennedy Space Center style,
but
Apollo,
it's the train
like tower, and it's like, and they're doing all the they're doing the whole like, you know, Apollo mission walk up. You get the orange suits. Come on, big old glass bulb helmets.
It would have to be the white jumpsuit, wouldn't it, for the Institute of Future Technology? I'm sorry. I'm probably getting on it. I'm feeding your tangent here, but it's now I'm like, if the Institute of Future Technology is getting involved with space travel, they would have to incorporate the white jumpsuit.
The white jumpsuit of Doc Brown's.
Of Doc Brown. Yeah.
Okay. Or.
Okay. They have to keep it consistent. Well, I guess orange is another color. It's not my.
Because I don't know. Because like the real Apollo, the whatever the. Orange jumpsuits were in
from the 60s.
In the 60s, you get what I mean.
They were big. They were big on the orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think it's just a cool color for those guys.
Oh yeah, very very nice color. It's a.
Now they're going up there in like polos up, you know, on the ISS. They got like tucked in. They're little dorks with their tucked in polos buttoned all the way up. Come on, show a little chest hair, for people back home.
It's
you guys are 2000... rock stars. What are you doing?
That's what they are. I wanna go back a little bit to what I was talking about with the death of Steppenwolf here, just real quick about being on that same line of avenging everyone that's kind of been harmed in this movie so far by Steppenwolf. Again, here we see the other half of his death scene, which is Wonder Woman making that final blow against Steppenwolf and decapitating him and then sending him back into the portal thanks to the alley-oop from Superman. And this, again, is a poetic moment. She's been taunted by Steppenwolf the entire movie every time they've quarreled, and he's always talked about how he easily defeated the Amazons and that they should submit to him and all this stuff. So he's really been playing these mind games with her as they've been fighting, and it just has this poetic tone to it, poetic motif rather, that Wonder Woman be the one that beheads Steppenwolf at the end, just to get the last laugh on this situation, which I think is like I said, it's really poetic, but it's also going back to the sword that, you know, beheads this kind of demon. There's just so much working for this that I really just like all the imagery. I like the slow motion. I like everything about the framing of these shots. I think it's just a really nice, I hate to say it, but send off for Steppenwolf for this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's very confirming of Diana's warrioristic mindset and training and just the whole, you know, style of fighting that she's been showcasing out throughout this whole movie, especially in this end fight here. And again, it's just like very rewarding for the audience to see that kind of thing, especially in the whole off with his head kind of Green Knight giant type thing, because that's what you do. It's a giant, you gotta cut his head off. Giant demon, cut the head off and send it back. Bring me the head of Darkseid Space Knight from Apocalypse.
Yeah, there you go. We'll make that a working title. The slow motion really kind of drags out a bit. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, because to see what you were just saying, Nate, like you cut the head off, you send it back, send a message. And that's why it kind of takes this slow motion of sending Steppenwolf's body back through the boom tube and under the foot of Darkseid. You see so much happening with it. Like the body comes in, the head rolls around, and then Darkseid, who doesn't move much, moves his foot to put it on top of Steppenwolf to keep it from rolling. He puts his foot on it, and then, of course, he steps on it, which says so much without saying anything at all. And it's just one of those things where he damned Steppenwolf, at the end. And, you know, just utter disappointment from Darkseid here. And there's so much being said by Darkseid, and it's a really good way to portray your bigger villain for this entire trilogy or quintology, saying that like even he's just like so much stronger, so much more powerful, and to see the death of Steppenwolf is not only is a disappointment, but it's like meaningless now to him. Like he's moved on. He's like, I'm over it. Literally, I'm over it, and I'm going to be the one who defeats you guys now. So the idea of framing the shot that it would be the Justice League killing Steppenwolf and then Darkseid having something to say about it, while also being imposing, that's just really good storytelling there to kind of sell what would be the next story or the next chapter of this Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good choice to not have him, you know, sprint towards the boom tube and try to just like kill all those people, or even Omega Beam into that boom tube.
Yeah,
you know,
but like not even upset at the Justice League, like just upset at Steppenwolf. Like he had no fear of the Justice League, no anger, no resentment, no pain. He's like, I do not care about you guys at all.
Yeah,
my anger is only directed to the head of my uncle here, and for that I'm going to step on him and forget about him in about a few seconds, because like that's how much he means to me at this point. Like, hate this guy. Yeah, and I'm over. I'm done with you, and goodbye. So just really interesting. I kind of wanted to bring up the boom tubes just a little bit, because we get kind of a close-up of the boom tubes in this minute, and the more you watch it, the more you can kind of see the kind of polygonal fractals that make up the boom tube.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could make anything out of it, but so it's not just a glowing white circle, like it's one polygon, but it's like multiple
Yeah, it's pulsing.
But pulsing many shapes. Just like a whole bunch of shapes. Like, it's not just one.
It's not just hexagons.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a bunch of hexagons.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bunch of them that are just making this giant circle. I think it's awesome.
I said that way back when, like, we first saw them, like, I don't know, either on...
On the mascara?
Or in Atlantis when we got another close-up shot. But I've always loved the hexagonal effect that the boom tube has. I think it's really cool. I think it's a great way to just, like, show, you know, rips in space-time kind of thing. It's like, oh, that's cool. It's a neat little shape. Guardians does it with their little hyper jump that they do in their ship. They get like hexagon grid net kind of thing, and it's like, oh, that's tight. I like that. That's cool. You know, it's just more interesting than just, you know, I don't know, warp tunnel or I don't know.
You know,
it's like the only thing I can reference is like Star Trek stuff. It's like, yeah, well, again, that was, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and it did its job, but like, do that, but then make it a little bit more fantastical as these effects, you know, go on and whatnot. So yeah, the hexagon as like the, you know, the gate, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
It's dope.
The hexagons themselves have such an interesting shape to them. Like, it's not just a hexagon, but it almost looks like it has kind of like a serif to it. And what I mean is, like, kind of has like tails to.
Oh yeah, that are smaller hexagons.
Kind of like a, it's yeah, it's like a hexagon, but then there's like a kind of a tail to both sides.
What the hell are they called? Like molecule. How you draw a molecule.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know what the fuck that's called. I'm so sorry. I'm a dumb kid, guys. I'm so sorry.
Chemistry.
I only passed chemistry because the teacher was like, and my older brother were like really close friends, and I was so bad at chemistry. I could do physics just fine. Just chemistry was like, there's too many dang things on that periodic table, guys. You're trying to make me memorize all this stuff. I had to make flashcards. Anyway, but yeah, it's a very, you know, organic in a sense as well, because it's.
I would say,
you know, mathematical.
I would say it's almost one of the things that's inconsistent with the rest of the apocalyptic imagery that we've seen throughout this movie so far, and a little bit of Dawn of Justice, all the
right.
apocalypse stuff that we have seen. Of course, Hell Pits, Darkseid's armor, Steppenwolf's armor, Desaad, everything that we've seen about their technology, including their own version of, I guess, this their whatever their version of liquid geo, but it's not liquid geo, it's their own hell,
the magma, the lava stuff.
Yeah, magma architecture. None of it matches this kind of angelic presence of the boom tube. And the more I look at it, and the more I study the fractal shapes and all this stuff, I start to think, I think this technology has an identity that is either before Darkseid's reign or of someone else's abilities. They just have this technology now, so they're like, we're going to use this because we got this from someone.
It's probably New Genesis in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, Forever People technology kind of deal.
Yeah, so I was looking up Metron, and I was looking up Orion, and for... I would say more so for Metron, he has a bit of angular shapes on him, with a little bit of kind of like a dot motif a lot of times with Metron. Some of his older imagery kind of has what looks like a hexagon with kind of like a dot in the middle. And so obviously we never get any word or mention of Metron being in this cinematic universe, but you know, I think at this point I can make any bet and just like be like, well, we'll never find out, so who cares. So my bet would be like, maybe this is a Metron technology that they're like, yeah, Darkseid's using it because he's like, it's the only thing
that still would just put it in, you know, New Genesis type New Gods technology.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but I would consider this as like our only Easter egg of Metron being a thing. It's like, yeah, look at the boom tubes. That's totally a Metron looking thing, because it totally wouldn't be. And just thinking about it, obviously with the boom tube technology, they were probably like, well, we want it to look like boom tubes in the comic books, and this is what they look like. So we're going to do that. But even more so, it's like they chose not to make the boom tubes too apocalyptic like everything else, and like making a fiery hell portal, like I think Mortal Kombat does. Instead, they keep it with this light angelic boom tube thing that really complements the rest of Apocalypse, because from a colors perspective, it really complements each other. Like it kind of breaks it up. And it's kind of, you know, this rich light versus all the dark reds and blacks and gray. It is a really nice color palette. But yeah, part of me wants to say, oh, this must be Metron technology that they're abusing. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
No, if anything, I would, you know, also coincide with looking more like Cyborg's sonic cannons as well.
Yeah, when we see the sonic cannon, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to point out here, and it's something that I like just winded back the tape, roll back the clock to the dawn of time. That's a deep cut. Anybody remember We're Back? Man, I've watched that movie so many times. Anyway, yeah.
Dinosaur Story.
It got scary. The movie got scary. The movie got dark.
The movie was always kind of scary, right? I mean,
The like evil dinosaurs,
circuses.
Watch We're Back, and then you're going to go and watch Jurassic Park and be like, uh-uh. You're going to have nightmares for weeks, kid. And then you'll just be another version of me, and then we could be friends. So anyway, winding back the clock. As the boom tube opens up, you get Superman and Cyborg, you know, drawing their attention towards it. That's behind them at this point. But Batman grapples down at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever, like, cared to pay attention to that. But, man, do those three look cool as hell standing back there after he jumps down.
Yeah.
That's a good landing. That dude, that's like a video game.
It is. I'm pretty sure it's an all CG.
That's like a cut sequence from like Arkham or something. Like, that looks so freaking cool. And like, now his armor plating looks badass. Like, he looks like a tank right now. And that's cool as hell.
It looks really good.
If those were like... And it's completely CGI. So
it's a completely CGI Batman, but it works so well, because that's all you need, right? Like, I just need that image. And it's times like that. It's like that's what I need. I need
a Batman
with some gray metal arm pads on his suit. And he's like, his eyes are completely black because of the shading. So you don't see the goggles, you don't see his eyes, you don't see white eyes, which would also would have been cool. But just that drop down and kind of roll up as he stands up, it's like, oh, that's so cool. I love that. Cyborg has that third arm
right up there
that
with
comes
him.
Back in.
Yeah, man, like, that is such like a your move. Like, what are you gonna do? We stopped it.
It always goes back to Heroes Park, where I'm like, when he came out behind the Humvee, I'm like, that wasn't Zack Snyder.
No.
look at this. This shot right here is so insignificant. Like, in, I guess, like, in what it's aiming to do, but like it's it, execution is just like, oh, that's so cool. And that's all I'm saying. It's like whenever Zach's like, oh, I want Batman to show up in this scene, he knows how to get Batman in the scene.
He shows up like Batman.
Shows up like Batman every time. And you're always like, that's a JLA Batman. And him, that's the Batman I've read in comics where he just shows up. Yeah. And then nice looking Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah, he looks great. Everybody looks so good.
There was another thing I wanted to bring up before we wrap up today's episode was just the beginning when they are separating the boxes. I know I said it last week as well, but it's really important just to see Superman do like a circus strongman thing, which is just like, oh, I just have to be really, I have to flex the muscles that I worked really hard for this movie, and doing just basic fitness routines. Like that to me is very Superman. That's stuff I'd like to see. So when Henry Cavill's just separating the boxes, I think that's like, I think that's so important to have in Superman movies. Very similar to in Dawn of Justice, in that kind of media scene when he's lifting the crashed cosmonaut shuttle. Yeah. And he's basically doing a shoulder press. It's like that. That's what I want Superman to do more often. Just do circus strongman
poses.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also this shot of Superman separating the mother boxes in this minute also feels very Max Fleischer, which is makes sense, right? Because it's all rotoscoping. So there was a person doing circus strongman things anyways to get those shots. But like just having Superman do those things, it feels like this could have been like a little Max Fleischer animation in any episode. And like, it's like, oh yeah, he's separating stuff with all his superhuman strength. Like that's really cool. That's the stuff I want to read about in comics and see in movies and stuff. So it just looks really cool.
Yeah, hell yeah it is. And this is also, you know, the black suit I think is working hella well.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have looked better in a blue and red?
That's just
it would have looked different. Yeah, it would have just been, you know, like, you know, what skin do I want to put on him?
Yeah, that's just
maybe they'll bring out, they'll put out an option, you know, that you could turn on the blue,
turn on the blue and red. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that would totally be up there for me. Just having the little blue and red ticker and just like, oh, now he's in the classic one. Different skins for movies. That's weird. Microtransactions for movies. You think someone's
trying
this?
Don't give anybody ideas. You don't know who's listening to this.
That's so weird.
Come on.
Do you want to see this movie but with the original theatrical cut Steppenwolf in it? Pay $2.99 and you can watch the movie with that version. That's so weird, Nathan. I don't know if this is a thing, but I'm sure they've thought about it. Because, like, how could it be difficult?
I don't know. I guess, like, wait for them to come out with the Fortnite movie and then have people be able to switch between what skins they want.
Which would probably be directed by Zach, because he likes that game.
It'll be the first metaverse movie, and you get to choose which of the playable characters is the main character of the Fortnite movie.
Yeah, Master Chief.
Or right? Banana Guy, or, you know, Orange Fish Man.
Yeah, this must have been a missed opportunity for Ready Player One, right? Like, they could have been like, yeah, the Gundam, it didn't have to be the RX-78. It could have been any Gundam that you wanted, just microtransaction it.
No, that would have gone over swell.
Yeah, because I totally would pay to see the Zaku fight Mechagodzilla, because that would have just made the movie more enjoyable.
I mean, I can't disagree.
That would have just made
you,
the movie enjoyable, period.
I mean, I do love me that damn RX-78, though.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have anything else for this one, so I don't know about you, but we could probably wrap up here.
Yeah, we can wrap up here.
All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.